Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of South Tower, Fox Dot Shadow Turner Congregation, I'm South Tower, Town, Little York, Texas. Today is October 5, 2017, and it's history 16, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Faith is the Victory. Encamped along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers ride, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know, that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of Yah. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph on. That faith they like a woven's breath stepped on her every fear. The faith by which they conquered there is still a shining shield. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him who overcomes the foe, what raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. And onward from the hills of light, a house with love aflame, to vanquish all the host of night in Yahshua's conquering name. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Part 2, Judgment and Harvest. We're going to continue on with our series here. Reading from track number 3, Beat the Harder. It says, to cleanse the earth, let's do a little review from what we did before. It says, on page 26, this desolating power was, according unto Daniel, to pollute by transgression the earthly sanctuary, our church. Now, the only reason why Yahweh brings any branch of the house of Israel to a close and gets rid of their leadership is because they have polluted the earthly sanctuary. And that's the reason why there is a verdict. There was a verdict pronounced against the Adventist Church overall. And from the time that the sanctuary was revealed unto them in 1844, the enemy went to work to keep the light of the restoration of the sanctuary concealed as much as possible in darkness, and to keep the people's eyes blinded to the true understanding as the truth unfolded on the sanctuary's truth to be restored. Ellen G. White started it, and she said in Volume 4 of the commentary that the sanctuary was to be, at the end of 2300 days, the sanctuary was to be restored and put back into its rightful order. So, as I back up a little bit more and read, here on page 25, we're going to start with Daniel 8:11-12. Yea, he magnified himself even unto the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. Now, the daily sacrifice had been restored in 1970 unto the Adventist Church by the prophet unto the Adventist Church, Brother Johnson. And so we know that the daily sacrifice was the law of Moses, and they practiced it for 1500 years from Moses' time until the cross. And we know they practiced it for 2500 years from the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. We know they practiced it daily. They had to. As the ordained system of true worship, that they had to adopt and practice, because it was to be in sample, clear down to the end of time. So it had to be adopted by law. The ordained system of true worship had to have a set of laws. And that's reading why it says in Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law, is that it be called a transgression? Well, when did the first transgression take place? In heaven. Lucifer, first transgressor of this law. So this law then had to be in play, had to be in place even before Lucifer was created. This law of the sanctuary. The sanctuary had to be created in heaven even before any subjects could be created. And then Yahweh and the Son, his Son Yahshua, is the beginning of his creation. The first creation of all, or the Father, was his Son. It says so there in Revelation 3:14. Says that Yahshua, the true witness, is the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. And we know the true witness is Yahshua. It says so in Revelation 1:5. So, when it says that in Daniel 8:11-12, yea, he magnified himself even unto the prince of the host. Now, who's the prince of the host? Yahshua. And Yahshua is the author of the ordained system of true worship, the sanctuary system. He's the high priest in it. He's the author of it. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. Well, we know the daily sacrifice was practiced by Abraham. We know it's practiced by Noah before him. We know it's practiced by Enoch before him. It's practiced by Adam and Eve and their descendants before Enoch, clear back to Garden of Eden. So we know that Abraham practiced it, and we know that Isaac, the son of promise, carried on the priesthood of Abraham, his father, and so therefore he practiced it, and all his descendants, starting with Jacob. Jacob inherited the birthright from Esau. He practiced it daily. And then you had the daily being practiced by the descendants of Jacob and his 12 sons. His 12 sons that formed the 12 tribes of Israel. And then his 12 sons and their descendants went into Egyptian captivity for 430 years. Actually, 215 years, their captivity. But they were 430 years displaced. And then at the end of 430 years, they came out of Egypt by Moses, and he asked, had the Passover down in Egypt for the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. The children of Israel, they were practicing the ordained system of true worship while they were in Egyptian captivity. How do we know that? Because Joseph was taken down a fourth time before that, and he was made governor of Egypt by divine providence, and he taught the Egyptian the ordained system of true worship that was approved of by the friendly Pharaoh that appointed Joseph as the second ruler in charge of the land of Egypt. Put him completely in charge of it. And said, and he told the, as the Pharaoh said to the Egyptians, bow the knee to Joseph. Bow to Joseph. So Joseph had the authority, and he taught them the ordained system of true worship. And so the Egyptians made a creation calendar they followed that continued on from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jacob's, one of his 12 sons, Joseph, went down to Egypt, and he taught the Egyptians how to carry on the ordained system of true worship. But the thing is, Joseph and his descendants then, Jacob's descendants down in Egypt, pretty soon, as the pharaohs passed away and new pharaohs took their place that knew not Joseph and the ordained system of true worship, they started oppressing the Israelites and putting burdens on them and enslaved them instead of them having free autonomy with the Egyptians to live side by side down in Egypt. The pharaohs that knew not Joseph's people made a decree and enslaved the Israelite people because they were in their land and they had the power and the authority to do that. Now, if it had been reversed and the Egyptians was in the land of Israel, then Israel could have enslaved them. If it had been reversed. But they were strangers, they were bondmen and a strange land. And so the pharaohs that didn't observe the ordained system of true worship and carry it on, they oppressed the Israelites for 215 years. And then Moses was sent down to deliver them, but he had to restore the Passover to them. But it just so happened that on the Passover night, when Moses instituted it for their deliverance out of Egypt, they had their kneading troughs. Of course, everybody had kneading troughs. The women did. They had to knead dough to make bread with. And they knew how to make leavening bread, and they knew how to make unleavened bread. So I showed right there that they understood the ordained system of true worship. Because that's what delivered the ones that understood and believed in it. That's what delivered them out of Egypt, was the Passover. That's part of the ordained system of true worship and the daily. So let us get back now to Daniel 8, 11, 12. Yea, he magnified himself even unto the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression. Now, Rhodes Johnson rescinded the daily sacrifice. He made a final rescinding of it about 1984. He restored in 1983 and rescinded again within a year. And he told me, he said, well, we can't keep it here in the wilderness. We have to wait till we get in the land. Well, next keep the daily, we get in the land. The author says, well, next keep the seventh day Sabbath and all the other feast days when we get into the land. We can't keep them here. So in the first place, we don't have a correct calendar, in other words, to know when to keep them at a true time anyway. So since we don't have that light, then we're not obligated to try to keep feast days here. It's just too hard to try to work for a living and keep, the author says, hard enough to keep the seventh day Sabbath, let alone all these here other holy days. So anyway, it says, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression, and it cast down the truth onto the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Okay. So in Daniel now 11, go to chapter 11, verse 31, and it says, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Okay, it says, from the juxtaposition of Daniel 8:11 and 12, Daniel 11:31, the reader will observe that both scriptures are speaking of the same power. And Yahshua is with the prediction of the signs of the end of the world as he looked forward along the stream of the time and declared, when ye his followers, who were to be living at the time that this horn power was at work against Yahweh, his truth, and his people, therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Now this is where the rub comes in at. Since V.T. Hall says, we'll next keep our feast, we get into the land. And he said the seventh-day Sabbath was just took the place of the daily. He said it was nothing but the daily. He didn't know how to interpret the daily according to the law of Moses, because he didn't think the law of Moses applied in that situation. So therefore he didn't. So he made the seventh-day Sabbath the daily, once a week. All you had to do is keep the Sabbath once a week, and that was performing your daily. But the law of Moses says you perform it at the third hour and the ninth hour every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And but V.T. Hall says, no, you don't have to do that. So Yahweh says, well, you've gone all as far as you can go, V.T. Hall. I'm going to have to take you off the scene and let Ben Roden fill out your time period of 15 years that you have left, to fill out the 40-year period, and he will succeed you. And Ben Roden, then he set up his own interpretation of the sanctuary system restored. So he set about restoring the sanctuary system. And he restored the feast days according to the Jewish calendar, but he didn't have a creation calendar at the correct time to do it, but he did it according to the Jewish calendar. And then he polluted the daily. And he practiced the daily. He established the daily at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day. And they performed their vows on that every day. But they didn't know how to do it. They thought they had to have a ceremony at the third and the ninth hour. So they did the Lord's Supper twice a day, 365 days out of the year, the road nights, did the Lord's Supper. 730 times a year they practiced the Lord's Supper. 730 times. They took the wine and the emblem. Well, that's contrary to the law. So, Ben Roden, then went into 15 years, and he finished out the last 15 years of Rod, and his time was up. He refused to give it up, but Yahweh took him off the scene anyway, because his time was up. Then Willis Johnson took over in 1970, and Willis Johnson has a true time now. He has a creation calendar. So, V.T. Hollis polluted the sanctuary. So he was given a lot on the law of Moses to be restored, to continue on where Sister White says the sanctuary is to be restored and put back in its rightful order. Well, he was trying to carry on that theme, V.T. Hollis was, 1930. Until 1955, he tried to carry on that thing. And he tried to bring forth the 144,000 in 1950 without even restoring the sanctuary and the feast day and the daily. He tried to bring them forth a purified section of the Adventist Church with 144,000 without sanctifying the congregation that he was over, and so forth. So he had to be taken out of the way. Ben Roden had to be taken out of the way. Brother Johnson had the golden opportunity of setting up the ordained system of true worship with a true time calendar that he published. I was getting a light on it. And he restored all the divine institutions, the sacred name and tithe pan and the daily and all the additional feast days that goes with the seventh-day Sabbath, restored all that. And then ended up rescinding all of it, actually by his own actions of going back into idolatry, which he never came out of idolatry to begin with. Never did come out of practicing idolatry. And that's where he lost out. And so therefore, he was standing in the sacred desk that was appointed to him by heaven. He had his sacred desk. He had a sacred office that was appointed to him by heaven. And he occupied that office for 33 years while I was there. But he polluted it. And so therefore, that's reading it says in Daniel 8, it says, therefore, was at work against Yahweh, his truth, and his people, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. So, I'm giving you the true understanding of this this statement by Daniel. Said that this here abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So that abomination of desolation has been practiced in our time since 1930. So those men that was given the torch to bear from 1930 on until 2003, three main people, Leachy Hollis, Ben Roden, and Brother Johnson, they were given the torch, the light of the sanctuary, to start practicing it right. And so, because they didn't, it wasn't their position, it wasn't the time. Also, prophetic time was not right. They were not the people that was called to purify the sanctuary, except Brother Johnson. He's the only one out of the three. Vicky Hollis, Ben Roden, Rodas is the last one. He's the only one that had the golden opportunity and enough light and knowledge to actually restore and sanctify the congregation and bring them through to victory. He's the only one of the three that actually had enough light and information to accomplish that. And he didn't accomplish it, so apparently we had some object lessons here to learn about type and antitype, and about the firstborn. And so seeing how Ben Roden and Rodas Johnson played the role of Ishmael and Isaac from 1955 to 1970, while they were in the rod period, after V.T. Hollis died, then Ishmael and Isaac emerged. Ben Roden emerged as antitypical Ishmael, the firstborn of the flesh by Abraham, and Isaac, the firstborn of the spirit by Abraham. Royal Johnson had that unique role to play for 15 years. He had that unique role. And he played it, and he performed it. He performed it according to what Yahweh had told him. Clear up to 1975, He performed that unique role of being Antipater Isaac. Because when Antipater Ishmael turned 20 years old in 1975, Yahweh spoke on the verse and told him to go to New Mount Carmel, where Antipater Ishmael ben Reuben was at, on the Day of Atonement, where he was performing some rituals there in his temple. And we went there on that day, and five of us, and with five different cars, and we pulled up at their place at New Mount Carmel, 1975, and we worshiped with them all day long, and showed them where they were wrong, and that was the end of Antipater Ishmael and his ministry. Well, they refused to accept it, but nevertheless, Brother Johnson pronounced a decree on him. And 3 years later, Ben Roden died at the Atonement. At the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was the day that we had yesterday. He died 3 years to the day on the Feast of Tabernacles, which was we observed yesterday. The 15th day of the 7th month is a holy day. And that's, we're in the 16th day. And so, Ben Reuben died 3 years to the day of a horrible death. So he lasted three more years after he wouldn't advocate his throne when Antipater Isaac Verlis Johnson went to give him a going away party. And I was invited to go along with him and to be a part of it. So anyway, I met him down there in Waco. I was living in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, and Brother Johnson, the rest of them came from Kermit. So we met down there at Waco, and the rest is history. Then let them which be in Judea, it says right here, whosoever readeth, let him understand, and then let him which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Matthew 24:15-16. These clear words of the Yahshua himself place the work of this power in the future from his time. Okay. So we know that after Yahshua rose and went back to heaven, after his crucifixion, we know that 3.5 years later, Paul was called in to go to the Gentiles. And does anybody understand the real reason, the real clear reason why Paul was raised up to go to the Gentiles? You can go to Acts chapter 26 and you can read it. It's verse 14 through 18. You can read it. It's very interesting. And I'm going to read to you here. Acts 26:14-18. And when we were all fallen to the earth, let's back up to verse 12. No, let's back up a little bit further. Acts 26. Okay, he says in verse 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now in the Hebrew tongue, the word is Shaul, S-H-A-U-L. It's pronounced Shaul. But in the transliteration, it's pronounced Saul. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Master? And he said, I am the Yahshua. Now remember, it said that there he was in verse 14 that he was this voice from heaven was speaking to him in the Hebrew tongue. So Yahshua's name in the Hebrew tongue is Yahushua, Y-H-U-S-H-U-A, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Now he says, I have delivered you from the people. Who is that? From those Pharisees and Sadducees. Paul was a Pharisee. He was the chiefest among the Pharisees. He said, delivering thee from the people, the Pharisees, and from the Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles? That was your Romans that ruled over Jerusalem. He said, I have delivered you from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the publicans, and the Roman and Herod. I've delivered you from all of those. Unto whom now I send thee, he said, I've delivered thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He said, now I'm going to turn around, I've delivered you from them, now I'm going to turn around and send you back to them, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto the Yahweh, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Now, what I tell you before, when you use that word faith in Yahshua, that you're supposed to use this word faith in the blood. He left out that in the blood that is in me. And this is Yahshua speaking. So I'm going to read that again. Verse 18, Acts 26. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness. Who is this? Unto the light. To open up the eyes of the Pharisees, the Jews. To open up the eyes of the Gentiles, those Romans that are in charge of Jerusalem. To turn them from darkness unto light. And from the power of the Satan unto the Yahweh. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith and the blood that is in me. I added by the blood that was missing. It belongs there. And so, it gives me a cross-reference here in John 8:12. I'm curious as to just how it reads. I'm going to turn to it right quick. It says that, then spake Yahshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay, so that's a very interesting point I thought would work right in here with our study. So let's go back now to our study and track number 3, Judgment and the Harvest. We're on page 25. We're still in our review part. So it says, and then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So when did they flee into the mountains? That's in Matthew 24:15-16. At the destruction of Jerusalem. They started their fleeing in 66 A.D. When they had 2 sieges of Jerusalem, 3.5 years apart, Cestus and Titus. The one came down in 66 A.D., mysteriously withdrew his troops, and that was a sign for the believers and the Yahshua and the blood of the everlasting covenant That was a sign to them to flee out of Judea. So, they did. They spent the next 3.5 years moving out of Judea. 3.5 years. Yahweh gave them 3.5 years. And so when the believers, what they called they Christians, I thought it was very interesting. I went to a Gentile church last Tuesday night, and the teacher used that word Christian. He said, now what does Christian mean? And he said, it means the followers of Jesus Christ. That's what Christian means. Followers of Jesus Christ. Okay. So he wasn't really too far off on that. Matter of fact, he was right on. Matthew 24:15-16. These clear words of Yahshua himself place the work of this power in the future from his time. So, that time first came in 70 A.D. when Titus came down to besiege the temple, and 1,200,000 Jews lost their lives in that siege. That's a lot of people. But the remnant, those that obeyed the sign to flee out, when they were given the sign, they knew what the sign was. And so they fled out, and not one of them lost their lives, but they had to amalgamate themselves among the Gentile nations around that area. Okay. Here Yahshua plainly states that at his time, the abomination of the desolation had not yet stood up in the holy place. But that sometime in the Christian dispensation, and when the Christian dispensation began, they were first named Christians at Antioch. Says so there, Paul says in Corinthians. Okay, that was while Paul was still alive. Okay, in the first century. It would be seen to stand there. Still further, the angel instructed Daniel that at the time of the end shall be the vision. So, the abomination that makes its desolation shows up for interpretation in the time of the end. And so that then would have to fall on at the Passover of 2002. It never had to fall on the Elijah David to interpret this vision of Daniel during the end time. And I witnessed the one that's performed the abomination of desolation that made it desolate. I witnessed him with my own eyes, Rhoda Stedley Johnson. Because I had part in delivering him the message from heaven that exposed him as this abomination of desolation that's standing in the holy place where he ought not to. Daniel 8:13-17. These two facts carry sweeping proof that the 2300-day period could not terminate until following Yahshua's time, the daily be cast out and the abomination set up. For both of these events were to take place within the 2300 days. Okay, so whenever the Adventists refused Jones and Wagner's message in 1888 to 1890, the Righteous by Faith message, Sister White held her hands up in the pulpit and she said, these men have additional light to what I've already brought. Receive these men, accept their message. And what? And you will be in the kingdom. This is a sign that you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son by accepting present truth messages of righteousness by faith. Well, the General Conference leadership is there to interpose themselves and cause the majority of the Adventists to reject that message. And that majority of the Adventists that rejected that message of Jonathan Wagner, they represented the leadership. The General Conference represented the abomination of desolation because it made all of those Adventists desolate. that rejected Jonathan Wagner. So here comes 1930, and 40-year period in the wilderness of wandering there from 1890 to 1930, fulfilling Ezekiel 4 prophecy there. 40 years wilderness wandering for the house of Israel, and for the sanctification of the house of Judah. 40-year period, and then Brother Vichy Holliford emerged in 1930 as the leader of the house of Judah with the sanctified, purified message. Righteousness by faith has been brought back again for a test unto the people. It came in 1888 and 1890 by Jones and Wagner. It was rejected by the majority. The remnant that accepted it back in 1888 and 1890 that were still living in 1930, they moved on with V.T. Holliff and the rod. So the remnant moved on. But those that rejected it in 1890 that lived on through that 40-year period in 1930, they are rejected it again the second time. Only those that accepted Jonathan Wagner in 1890 message, they accepted V.T. Holliff 40 years later, those that were still living. Okay. So it says, for the desolating power was according unto the Daniel, to pollute by the transgression the earthly sanctuary or church. So, we know that the General Conference then came into power in 1890. They didn't have the power before 1890 to do what they did. But they usurped their authority by 1890 and they took over as the leader of the Adventist Church. Instead of the prophets being able to continue leading and succeeding Ellen G. White, the General Conference took over and taught the doctrine that there's to be no more prophets. Ellen G. White was the last one. And she's dead and gone, so therefore you're not to look for any more prophets. This was to be accomplished by casting down the truth unto the ground by taking away the daily. So when the General Conference usurped the sanctuary truth and says, no, we're not going to have any more teaching this theme of the sanctuary that Ellen G. White had taught up to 1890. Now, we're not going to have any more of that. And so they cast down the truth to the ground that contained the daily. Notice I said that contained the daily doctrine. Because it says the truth that they cast the ground was the daily, and then he said the daily was the Sabbath, seventh day Sabbath. That wasn't so. So they're casting down the truth into the ground by taking away the daily and by bringing into the holy place the abomination that maketh desolate, all of which was to be, said the angel, under 2,300 days, and shall the sanctuary be cleansed. From the weighty evidences here amassed, there is manifested but one conclusion possible, that the polluting of the holy place, the termination of the 2,300 days, and the cleansing of the sanctuary could not have taken place before the Yahshua's time. For the facing of the resounding finality of this threefold conclusion is with the numerous voices that insistently localized within the Old Testament period for the events bound up with the 2,300 days ought now to silence themselves completely and forever. But if they do not, then Yahweh only knows what they may next proclaim. We cannot afford, brethren, now that the light has come to let slip from you the opportunity of breaking away from the theories of men herein discredited by the Spirit of the Truth, and of placing your feet firmly on the solid foundation here established in their place by the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah. Upon this solid rock, the structure of the truth now and the building will As the reader can already see, withstand the most severe storm of both wind and rain, so let us in the proceeding to erect its superstructure literally utilize without the slightest fear of the coming storm, which will demolish and sweep away everything standing on a sandy foundation. For the material so freely given, for the cleansing of the earthly sanctuary, the abomination which the wicked power here under discussion brought in must necessarily be cast out, and then the truth of the ordained system of the true worship will be restored by the new predestined prophet that is to head up the last movement in the 12th hour, Elijah David, of Matthew 20, verse 6. Says that fifth group of laborers is identified as the house of David. Okay. Also the daily. Let's read that again. For the cleansing of the earthly sanctuary is with the abomination that the wicked power here under the discussion brought in must necessarily be cast out. So Brother Johnson brought in the last abomination to pollute the Seventh-day Adventist sanctuary. That was the Adventist sanctuary. That was not the House of David sanctuary. Here under discussion brought in must necessarily be cast out, and then the truth also of the daily, which the same power trod down and cast out, must be restored. So, the old devil never stopped. He never stopped attacking the sanctuary system from the time that the Adventists, the Catholics in 538 A.D., well, actually, from the time that Constantine in 321 A.D., the Council of Nicaea had changed the Sabbath to Sunday by an edict, a decree, had no authority, but he did anyway. And the whole what they call Christian world now follows that as Sunday worship. And so the Catholic Church, Constantine is nothing but a Roman, that's all he was, a descendant of the Roman, Imperial Rome, that was a pagan atheistic, because he was nondescript. It says he had no description of really what he stood for in the way of religious beliefs. So that made him part of that nondescript beast, that fourth one that Daniel saw in vision of that nondescript beast with the 10 horns and the 7 heads. So anyway, he says that's when the Catholic Church started to assault on the sanctuary. So it says after 2300 days then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay, so the sanctuary then was brought to light. And all one had to do is go read Hebrews chapter, the whole book of Hebrews, especially chapter 9, to understand about the true application of the sanctuary today. All they had to do is just go read the diagram, the pattern, the sit down by Moses. That's all they had to do. They had a blueprint right in front of them. And that's what the General Conference knew. That's what Ellen G. White knew. And that's where she started teaching from, the Law of Moses, and then Hebrews chapter 8 and 9, and 7, 8, and 9, which the same power trod down, okay, must be restored. So isn't it ironic that the last words that I said to Brother Johnson in 2002, the last words I said when I was getting that message from heaven, I almost forgot it. I told him the first words I said, repent and restore. And the last words I said, restore the daily. Back to his rightful order. So that was the last word. And it says right here, V.T. Hall's own words here. In the 1930s, no doubt. I guess when he wrote this tract. 1934. He says, the sanctuary must be restored. Very obviously, therefore, it is not the slightest room for doubt as to either the way in which the sanctuary was polluted or the way in which it must be cleansed. And the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel contains a vivid prophetic symbolism of two beasts, a ram and a he-goat, concerning which the angel explained, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Okay, now the ram is a symbol of the sacrificial system. And he has two horns here, as most beasts like that do. And today, that ram is an antitype, as a symbol of what's going on in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump represents his ram because he's antitypical Cyrus, and Cyrus was a Persian king. Cyrus was a Persian king. And we're in the time of the Medes and the Persians right now in the Antioch. And have been since 2017 of January. Okay. But actually, Donald Trump started his campaign in 2016 in the middle of the year, about June. So, we've had the antitypical king of Persia on the scene since 2016. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. Okay. Now that rough goat is the king of Grecia, and Grecia is a sect of the Jews. Okay. Daniel 8:20-21. And Cyrus was adopted. He's the only one in history that was ever adopted as a Jew because of what he did for the Hebrew Israelites. Okay. So that's in Daniel 8:20-21. And the he-goat waxed very great. So the he-goat, meaning he's of the Grecian, he was of the Jewish descent, he waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn. Well, actually, the Persians are a sect of the Jews as well now. And Donald Trump, antitypical Cyrus, has Jewish blood in him. Okay. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Okay, so it says when this here Grecian, this rough goat that represented the Grecian king, and who was this rough goat? Alexander, the conqueror of the Medes and the Persians. Okay, he represented this rough goat. So, the Medes and the Persians right now are in charge of this world's government, of the United States government. Let's see what happens later. So it says, and the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So when Alexander died at the age of 32 in a drunken debauchery, but then that's when that horn was broken. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, which is the land of Israel. Daniel 8:8-9. So, the great horn that is between his eyes, explained the angel, is the first king, Alexander. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. not in the Alexander's power, that is, that not unto his posterity. Daniel 8:21-22 and 11:4. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors, parentheses, the Jews, are come to the full, a king of a fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, for arms shall stand on his part. Daniel 11:31. The armies of the civil powers, that's the arms that stands on his part, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Daniel 8:23-24. Now we know who this was that stood up. This was the Roman Empire, the fourth beast in Daniel's vision, that succeeded this rough goat represented by Grisha Alexandra. Obviously then, Daniel 8:23-24 is parallel with Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And it shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Okay. This brings to a close this audio contest. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Wonderful words of love. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of love. Let me know of their beauty see. Wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Joshua the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love. Send earnest to the loving tongue wonderful words of love. Oh, so freely given, moving us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Joshua, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words of love.